All right, hour number two is upon us. Myself, Greg Bloom, Barber's Foods. Charlie Grimes, of course, our engineer. Richard Battle joining us now as he does on Wednesdays. Richard, how are you, sir?
John, I'm doing great. It's great to be with you, and listening to you and Greg the last hour made me starving.
I'm a little hungry, too, by the way, just saying.
Yeah, it's that time of day.
Yeah, it is. But
you know, it's nearly dinner time.
We're talking about food like we were.
Yeah. What's your go-to meat for summer grilling, Richard?
Well, I like either, I don't eat a lot, as much beef as I used to, so I eat a lot of turkey. And so I'll grill turkey or chicken, but I love a good steak also, good sirloin.
Can't go wrong there.
Nope.
All right. Richard, by the way, everybody listening, Navigating Life's Journey, you can look Richard up, really just Google his name, you'll find him, it's really, really easy. Everything we do also is put up on the website in the evening, so if you ever miss something, just go to the website, rushtoreason.com, and always has things up there. Richard, we're going into the Independence Day weekend, and I haven't said this much this year, folks. Everybody listening, please bear with me here for a minute. Richard, I'm a big one on, I really wish we'd get away from calling it the 4th of July, because A, I think the 4th of July, when we call it that, takes away from the meaning of Independence Day. In fact, I would go as far to, and I have done this several years in the past, I want to promote the same day for Independence Day every year like we do Thanksgiving, so people really acknowledge Independence Day and not the 4th of July, because the 4th of July, I think, brings on all sorts of other connotations, and most people don't even understand what we're celebrating and why we have that day off. And frankly, Richard, you and I both know, and so does Greg here, it was not signed. The Declaration of Independence was not signed on July 4th anyways.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I go out of my way to call it Independence Day because it's set up calling it the 4th of July for a day when we don't have independence and still celebrate,
right?
Just like other holidays are currently. So I think it's required for we can reflect and remember that we're independent and free, and what those people did for us 200 plus years ago, and so many millions have done since then to deliver to our generation independence.
Yeah, title of today's discussion between all of us, Richard, is Our Founding Patriots Blessed Us Greater Than Our Appreciation of Them. And I think especially right now as we head into, you know, a long weekend like we are with Independence Weekend, that literally we need to make sure we do appreciate those folks that set up this great country that we have.
Well, and it's not perfect, and they realized they were imperfect men, which is why they wrote the Declaration the way they did and wrote the Constitution. And yes, there have been failures in it because of imperfect men. But at the time they were written and today, they were the greatest system in the history of the world. And there are so many people today attacking it, people who've never done anything positive to contribute to our country, and yet they want to tear down the gift we've been given that's so much better than anywhere else in the world.
These men, too, and I think it's very important for us to continue to point out that in some cases, they risk their lives, their fortunes. You know, the quote is their sacred honor. But literally, Richard, some of these guys gave it all. They lost everything, including their families.
Yeah, they went outside their comfort zone, which is hard for us today to
do. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were triggered, all right. But that was the last sentence in the Declaration. And those men knew when they signed that piece of paper, they'd be enemies and outlaws of the state. And John Hancock, stepping up first and signing his name prominently, said, I'm willing to be first in line here. I believe in this so much. And in looking at the signers, the lives of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, which biographied all the signers, 9 of them died fighting or in hardship. 12 of them had their homes pillaged and destroyed. 5 were captured, tortured, and killed. 2 lost sons. 2 more had sons in prison. They lost their wives and all of their assets. So they sacrificed, and they knew if we would have lost, they would have sacrificed even more.
You know, and again, we could go through and read every one of these different individuals that gave all. And I think a lot of us tend to forget, Richard, that, you know, these guys were, how do I want to say this? And you and Greg both chime in and make sure that you correct me if I say something I shouldn't hear. But these guys were really, in a lot of cases, funding out of their own pockets the war that we were getting into to get our freedom from, you know, to gain our freedom, I should say, from King George, from England. I mean, these guys were literally laying it on the line, going into debt in some cases, selling everything they had or losing it in battle, if you would, and they were literally funding the war.
Well, yes, because once they put their names on the piece of paper, they had to give everything they had, and it came so perilously close to losing the war so many times, and every time these guys stepped up to provide whatever they could to help win. And their perseverance and persistence and relentlessness is so impressive, because it would have been so much easier to quit and try to hide from the British government. But they believe so strongly that they never quit.
And I think we can even see from, you know, movies like The Patriot, for example, which, you know, I agree, it's not exactly probably the way things went, although I think it's a pretty good depiction of what it was like at that time. And literally, Richard, these guys also had to go against other friends and family in the position they took, because in a lot of cases, friends and family thought these guys were crazy for what they were doing.
Well, absolutely, and it was very similar to the Civil War, in that you had people within families that were Tories or American patriots. And since you do movies one segment during the week as well, Turner Classic Movies on July 4th, Independence Day, play some patriotic movies that people can see, because it's important for us not only to celebrate and appreciate, but it's important for us to educate our children and grandchildren about this unique life that they've been given, so that they will extend, preserve, and enhance it.
Richard, these guys created documents, plural. And again, it didn't happen in one day. It took a few years, in fact, to get the documents out and correct. And there was a lot of I don't know if infighting is the right way to say it. A lot of discussion probably is the best way to say it, even in amongst themselves, the leaders of the country at that time, on what these documents would look like, what they would say, you know, what the final outcome would be, and so on. But I think it's important for us to recognize that none of them, at least to my knowledge, unless I missed something, Richard and Greg, to my knowledge, these guys did not look at these things as living, breathing documents. They were documents that were done, signed, sealed, delivered, and there you go. They were not meant to be changed with every whim that came along, is my point.
Well, absolutely. And the thing I think is important, and I want to talk about this in a few weeks in another segment, is they had the proper perspective of human nature. And if we believe human nature is the same today as it was in the beginning, and I believe we can prove that,
yes,
then human nature will be the same 1,000 years from now as it is today.
Right.
And if that's the case, then the documents that were written and their expressions, their sayings, et cetera, are just as valid today as they were then. And they wrote simple documents that the people then could read and understand. The people today can read and understand them, which is totally different than what our leaders do today. They go out of their way to write hundreds and thousands of pages and try to make things as confusing as possible so that people will not feel that they can self-govern themselves.
Richard, do you feel like we live in a day and age now where if we had to answer, you know, a similar call where, you know, there was some, you know, basically the country's hanging in the balance, which is exactly what was happening back in those days. And you know, a certain amount of men stepped up, decided to go ahead and make the sacrifice necessary to do what was needed to, you know, get us as a country where we needed to go. Do you feel like we're at a time today where we'd have something similar to that, or would we fail dramatically in that area?
Well, at that time, there was only about a third of the country that was really pro-independence. There was about a third that were Tories and about a third that didn't care. So they were very similar to people today. And I think and I hope and I believe that we would have enough people to defend our liberty at this time as well. But I think that there would be a more aggressive opposition within this country, because there are so many people that have been sold propaganda that is not true and turned into victims of the country and sold this bill of goods versus the stories and evidence of the things that have been done that have blessed them beyond their knowledge.
And by the way, I tend to agree with you, and I think we also forget that the country was as divided then in some ways as it is now, and not everybody was on that same page. In fact, some folks, when the war started, had to be convinced to even join the battle. Some of them didn't want to have anything to do with it. They wanted to just, you know, really they wanted to stay neutral. And until, you know, King George and his men showed up, then they finally realized that, oh, I guess this is a lot more serious than we think. Maybe we ought to pick a side. And literally, that's what I'm paraphrasing, but that's really, Richard, what happened.
Well, not only that, there were people that went back and forth trying to go to the side they thought that was going to win. Over time, there were people that deserted, some that came back. So during that long period, there were ebbs and flows of the progress. But the leadership, Washington, and the leaders that stood fast during all of that and inspired the people and led them and pulled them along to victory, that is such an amazing story because, again, they were the ones most likely to be executed. Yet they stood fast through thick and thin and made it happen.
It really is it's a phenomenal, and it's not a story. It's phenomenal in our history, the way our country was formed, the men and women, by the way, it wasn't just men. There were a lot of women behind those men that agreed to, you know, hey, we will do whatever it takes to make these things, you know, to make this happen, to make things work. Well, you know, we're behind you, you know, families even. We're behind you, Dad. We'll do whatever it takes. And those were huge, huge sacrifices. And, again, it's not a story. It's American history. It's what it is.
Well, absolutely. And that's another threat that we faced because if the people who believe in moral relativism win the day, then they will wipe clean all of the history and the wisdom of the ages, not only of our independence, but all the way back to the Greek philosophers and everyone else, because then basically truth is only good when it's spoken, because there's no moral underpinning to anything, and every day you can change what truth is and what history is.
Right.
And 1984 displayed that, and that's really the threat of all this. We need to understand human nature hasn't changed. There is value in all the wisdom of the ages, and we need to learn from it versus going every day randomly learning on our own and making mistakes on everything because we can't trust history.
Richard, real quick, you and Greg both can answer this. Why do you feel that other, how do I want to say this, countries, communism, for example, why do you feel like there are those out there, you know, from, you know, those that are hardcore lefties that I believe are very much communist in their thought process, countries where that thought process even comes from and is instilled into, now I believe, into a lot of our young people that are raised here in America. Why do you feel they're so against the founding fathers and what they set up when it came to the freedoms that we have as a country?
Well, and I'll say first, I think beyond just the attacks of racism and rich white men, et cetera, some of the people that are against it cannot succeed. Some are jealous because others get ahead of them and they want a more equal type situation that they perceive in a socialist or a communist type government. But I think it's ironic that the people who push socialism and communism, and they used to have the chant about power to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our founders gave power to the people. They delegated it to the states. The states set up the federal government, not the federal government setting up the states, and we lost that power balance. And George Washington could have been king. He didn't. He could have been president for as many terms as he wanted.
True.
He didn't because he recognized the benefit of having refreshed leadership. They didn't set up term limits because they never envisioned people making a career out of government work.
Right.
And they believe that everyone ought to serve and then go back home and have experience in life before they went to serve, unlike we see now as well. Hmm. And that, to me, is the big difference, the freedom they gave all of us. And we need to retain that individual freedom because I would, as Bill Buckley said years ago, I would trust the first 435 people in the New York phone book to be Congress above what the Congress is today.
Yeah, I can't. I can't argue that one. Give us a good story out of navigating life's journey.
Well, I think that the thing that I would like to say on that today is Benjamin Franklin. I'll use him. And he was so wise. He was the elder statesman of this group. And when he was asked after the Constitution was written what type of government that he had given us, he said, a republic if you can keep it. Mm-hmm. They recognized mm-hmm. how difficult keeping a republic and independence and self-governance was. Yeah. And that was what they were, their biggest fear was that would be lost. Yeah. And shame on us if we surrender that
Amen.
Without a fight.
Amen.
Because we need to extend it to the next generation.
As always, Richard, it's a joy talking to you. Have a great Independence Weekend, and I really appreciate all you do and just joining us on a weekly basis like you do.
Thank you, John. You and Greg have a happy
We'll do it.